you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Job chapter 38. Before I read the text, let me tell you a story. Once upon a time, there was a 15-year-old 10th grader named Jim Wood going to Owen High School in Western Carolina. My biology teacher was Ruth White. She was a very gifted teacher. And she was trying to teach us about evolution, which, as best I could tell, she believed was how things came to be. I knew from Scripture that God is the creator. But I wrestled with whether there might be some way to bring the two together. This is called theistic evolution, but I didn't know that then. And so I really wrestled with it, and I didn't want to just reject out of hand what I was being taught in the public school, but I knew that I would not reject what God said in His Word. Because I didn't just know the Bible, I knew the author. I knew God. I knew He's trustworthy. And I knew that He is the source, the creator of all things. So I went back to Genesis 1, describing the 6 days of creation, and I looked at the textbook, the biology textbook, describing the periods of evolution. And I really worked hard at synthesizing those two in order to try and bring them together and harmonize them and so forth. And it wasn't perfect, but I was making enough progress that I was really feeling like I was getting somewhere. And I went in after I'd worked on it for a while, and it was getting close to bedtime. I went in and I told my dad, who was a wise and godly man. I said, "Dad, you know, I've been working on trying to harmonize Genesis 1 with the stages of evolution described in our textbook." And I said, I think I'm getting it to where it could fit. And he said, "Well, son, I'll have to leave that to you." He said, "Why don't you just go and have devotions and get ready for bed?" And I said, "Okay." Well, I was reading through the Bible, and I'll tell you why. This is not a big detour. If you just read the Bible from time to time, or even every day, but somewhat haphazardly, you know, like, "Oh, let's see, what'll I read tonight?" You're going to tend to go to your favorite parts, and you're going to tend to miss a lot of what God says in His Word. If you just read through the Bible, or if you use the kind of plan that we suggest, where you're reading through the Bible each year, but you're doing it in sections so that this passage goes with this passage, and this passage, and this passage, and you do it that way. If you get the whole thing, you'll see things you never would have seen otherwise. So I was, at that point, not doing the four-section thing. I was just reading through the Bible. And I was in the book of Job. And so I knelt down and I prayed and I said, Lord, you know, I would pray before I read scripture. Lord, I thank you for this day, and I thank you that mom and dad are doing well, and I thank you. I thanked God for a bunch of stuff. And then I said, and I thank you that I was able to work on that project tonight regarding biological evolution and trying to synthesize that with Genesis chapter 1. And after I had prayed, I did what I generally would do, and that is say, now, Lord, help me to understand your word. And guess where in the providence of God I was supposed to read next? It was this morning's text. It was Job chapter 38. The main point today is, what did God ask Job? Job chapter 38, this is God's word. Then the Lord answered Job out of the storm. He said, who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone while the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy? Who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and wrapped it in thick darkness? When I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place? When I said, this far you may come and no farther. Here is where your proud waves halt. Have you ever given orders to the morning or shown the dawn its place that it might take the earth by the edges and shake the wicked out of it? The earth takes shape like clay under a seal. Its features stand out like those of a garment. The wicked are denied their light and their upraised arm is broken. Have you ever journeyed to the springs of the sea or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been shown to you? Have you seen the gates of the shadow of death? Have you comprehended the vast expanses of the earth? Tell me if you know all this. What is the way to the abode of light, and where does darkness reside? Can you take them to their places? Do you know the paths to their dwellings? Surely you know, for you were already born. You've lived so many years. Have you entered the storehouses of the snow, or seen the storehouses of the hail, which I reserve for times of trouble, for days of war and battle? What is the way to the place where the lightning is dispersed, or the place where the east winds are scattered over the earth? Who cuts a channel for the torrents of rain and a path for the thunderstorm to water a land where no man lives, a desert with no one in it, to satisfy a desolate wasteland and make it sprout with grass? Does the rain have a father? Who fathers the drops of dew? From whose womb comes the ice? Who gives birth to the frost from the heavens when the waters become hard as stone, when the surface of the deep is frozen? I'm going to stop right there because there's a whole bunch more that I want you to read on your own. God keeps speaking through chapter 39, through chapter 40, through chapter 41. And in chapter 42, we get Job's reply to the Lord. Look at chapter 42. This is God's word. Then Job replied to the Lord, I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted. You asked, who is this that obscures my counsel without knowledge? Surely, I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, listen now, I will speak. I will question you, and you shall answer me. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. Let me tell you, I was crying. And I asked God to forgive me for my stupid, arrogant thinking that somehow I'm going to just resolve all this that people have wrestled with for generations. I'm 15. I can figure this out. I'm a sophomore in high school. Surely I can get it. There's even an expression, sophomoric. It's related to the term moronic. You're no longer a freshman, whether it's high school or college. You're now a sophomore, and you know so much. Let me just tell you something. I knew God was speaking to me that night. And God was saying, buddy, you're never going to figure all this out. Just trust me.
When I was growing up, I listened to Christian radio quite a bit. Several of the preachers that I heard made a great impact on my life. I am sorry to say that I didn't get to thank all of them. I did get to thank some. I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. Whether you want to thank me or not, at least let me know you're listening. Contact us by going to the website, pastorwood.org. Check out the materials there. Let us hear from you. Let us know where you listen and when you listen. And if you think it's helpful, please tell us. And if you think it's not, go ahead and tell us that too. But we would really appreciate hearing from you so that we know where our new listeners are. We are delighted that we have the privilege of coming into your vehicle, your home, your computer, wherever you're listening. We want to hear from you. Please contact us today.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and is holding out his hand.
Once you believe that God created everything out of nothing by speaking the universe into being, that the God who is beyond time and space created time and space. He created matter. When you believe that, the rest of it's pretty simple. I have seen too many things to question what God can do. God asks his people on more than one occasion, is anything too hard for me? If you leave God out of the equation, then it doesn't make sense at all. If you're trying to figure out the natural forces and how they brought about this or that, how did the Red Sea part? Okay, what was it? Was it really a whale that swallowed Jonah? Or, as the Bible says, a great fish that God prepared? Did God really speak to Moses from a bush that was burning but not consumed? Why did Moses go look at it? Because he knew that that's not the way things operate in the natural realm. Did Naaman really get cured of his leprosy by dipping into the river seven times? These things are not hard to believe if you know God. We're talking about an eternal God who brought into being a temporal creation. Okay? The earth is not eternal. The things on earth are not eternal. But you and I, created by God in his likeness, are given the opportunity to know him, and knowing him is eternal life. And it is only possible through Jesus. Well, what evidence do you have for, you know, Jesus really being who he said he was? Well, he gave us the evidence. He said, The only sign that the unbelieving generation he was in would have was the sign of Jonah. As if Jesus believed that story was true. He says, I'm going to die. I'm going to be buried. I'm going to rise again on the third day. And you know what? He did. He did it. He conquered death. When you believe that, the rest is easy. Well, how can we prove that? I saw an interview the other day with a professor at MIT. MIT, it's a Bible school up in New England, I think. No, it's top-ranked engineering school, even better than Georgia Tech. And this professor at MIT was saying, I was an atheist. I didn't even believe there was a God. But the more I learned, the more I realized there is a God. And the more I learned about God, the more I realized Jesus really is the Messiah. And he really did rise from the dead. And the evidence is overwhelming. You're saying it's scientific evidence? As she explained, no, it's historical evidence. There are many, many things that cannot be proved scientifically. Like what you ate for breakfast last Friday. That's not something we can prove scientifically. Because in order to prove it scientifically, you have to demonstrate it with empirical evidence, and you can't do that. Because it's back in time. But we can certainly muster evidence showing what you had for breakfast. We bring in eyewitnesses, and we build a case that this is what that person had for breakfast. This person saw it, this person saw it, this person saw it, and they have no reasonable motivation for making that up. Imagine if we threatened the life of those who testify as to what you had for breakfast. Most of them, I think, would say, well, I'm really not positive. I mean, you know, I could be wrong. But imagine a bunch of witnesses who were willing to die rather than deny what they knew to be true, which had destroyed their fear of death. That is the case for Christianity. The resurrection, with overwhelming historical evidence showing us that Jesus is alive. And the more we learn, the more we see that this is God's word, because all those things that God said were fulfilled in Jesus. And so as you begin to study what God said and believe what God said,
you believe the earth was created in 6 24-hour days?
Well, that seems to be what the text says. And if God said he did it in 6 nanoseconds, I wouldn't have any problem with that either. Because we're talking about God here. If you told me you made everything in 6 days or in 6 billion years, I wouldn't believe you. God? God can do whatever he says. Now, the 15-year-old kid repented. I cried. I said, God, please forgive me. That was stupid of me. That was arrogant of me. I am so sorry. But over the years, I have continued to have to repent from time to time for a sophomoric attitude that wants to be able to say, okay, I understand, I've got it, I figured it out. Not just about creation, but about life. We're gonna see, God willing, next time, that God was angry with Job's friends. And their problem in saying things that angered God was that they thought they had to have it all figured out. The reason they falsely accused Job was precisely because they couldn't understand how a just God could allow a just man to suffer this way. There must be sin in Job's life that he's hiding, because otherwise God wouldn't do this. See, they had to have it figured out. They had to understand everything. Creation should teach us. Science should teach us how great is our God. God describes to Job all sorts of things to display not only that he is the one who brought things into being, but that he is the one who still takes care of his creation. You read these intervening chapters from 38 through 41, and God is describing not only I'm the creator, but I'm the sustainer of life. I'm in charge, you're not. Now, again, when we look at the book of Job, one of the main points is that there's tons of stuff going on that we don't even see. There are lots of things in life that won't make sense to us. But it's not because the universe is running on its own. It's not because, as the deists suggested, that the universe is like a clock. God wound it up and then walked away and left it to run down on its own. That's not the reason. The reason is because God created a perfect universe, a perfect world, and a being in his own likeness who was given the power to choose. And God gave us truth so we would know this is right, this is wrong, and if you choose to disobey and do the wrong, you will die. And we chose death. And the consequence didn't just impact humanity, it impacted creation. And so this world has all kinds of things in it that just seem like, if there's a God, why would this happen? That would be like me taking a hammer, hitting my hand, and saying, oh, why are you allowing my hand to hurt? Well, don't some things happen to us that aren't our fault? Oh, yeah. They're somebody else's fault. But all of it goes back to the fact we're living in a world that is under a curse because of sin. So God's just going to let things rot? No. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him would not be destroyed, but would have everlasting life. For God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but so that through him the world might be saved. If you trust in Jesus, all the problems of this life are temporary and not worth comparing to the glory that shall be revealed in us. But if you do not trust in Jesus, if you continue to say, I don't want to hear it, I don't want to surrender, I want to be my own boss, you will find that all the problems of this life pale in comparison to the misery that you will experience for eternity. God says, behold, I set before you life and death. Choose life.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number. 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.